From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it's your favorite time of the day. The hour has arrived where you get to listen to the Current Sports crew and I. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Al Martin. I hope you all are strapped in and ready for another fantastic edition of Current Sports. Today, we are going to discuss the disturbing situation taking place at Grambling State University and its football program. We are also going to talk about Brett Favre. Yes, one team was desperate enough to give him a call and ask him if he would throw on the old jersey and lace him up one more time. Can you believe that? Brett Favre, he's 44 years old now. We'll tell you which team that was in just a sec. I also have to give a big shout-out, a huge, humongous, massive shout-out to all of those who came out to last night's taping of Current Sports TV. Folks, we had a packed crowd last night as I sat down with MSU head athletic trainer Dr. Sally Nogle. We had to bring out extra seats for you all. Can you believe that? But it was a fun time. I also want to give a special shout out to now former MSU women basketball players Tracy Nogle, who is Sally's daughter. I didn't even know that until Midnight Madness when she came up to me. And also Courtney Schiffauer, who was the emotional leader for the last few years of the MSU women's basketball team. And last year she was something else. She was an unbelievable player. But they both showed love and came out last night. So thank you to you guys. So I also want to remind you all that you can tune in tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. It's Current Sports with Al Martin, WKAR's newest original TV series. Again, my guest is MSU head athletic trainer, Dr. Sally Nogle. Now, Nogle was the first female athletic trainer for a MSU football team in the Big Ten Conference, and in July was elevated to a head athletic trainer. She has been an athletic trainer at MSU for, get this, 30 years. Yes, quite a long time. Also, you can see Tom Izzo get shot out of a cannon at Midnight Madness, or, get shot out of a cannon, I guess you can say. You can hear from Izzo and the players on this season's high expectations. And we'll also talk a little MSU football as they, come off that Purdue win. That's Current Sports with Al Martin and guest Sally Nogle tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. Certainly please tune in, all right? Well, let's dive into today's show. Here are your current sports headlines on this October 24th, 2013. At a Jenison Fieldhouse record crowd last night of 6,183 fans. Yes, I'm going to say that again. 6,183 fans. So I guess the Current Sports TV taping last night wasn't the only thing packed, but you guys definitely showed up and showed out at Jenison Fieldhouse last night and watched an epic four-set battle between arch rivals Michigan State and Michigan, and were treated to a match that featured 47 tie scores and 27 lead changes as the number 17 Wolverines took a 3-1 decision over number 10 MSU. Yes, MSU, they dropped its third straight match and fell to 6-3 in Big Ten play and is now 17-4 overall. So the three of their four losses have come, in their last three matches. Can you believe that? Now, the attendance was the largest home volleyball crowd at Jenison Fieldhouse in MSU volleyball history. Only one MSU home match had a larger attendance, and that came in November of 2010 at the Breslin Center with a crowd of 6,824. Both matches were against Michigan. So you guys definitely show up, to the MSU and Michigan volleyball games. That atmosphere was just crazy. I can just imagine crazy last night. Now, errors were once again, they plagued the Spartans, who committed 18 service areas, for a total of 46 over the last three matches. Now, they hit, their hitting wasn't that great. Michigan wasn't easy, though. I mean, it made it a really back-and-forth type of battle. And despite being outblocked by MSU 15-6, Michigan got timely kills and improved to they're now 14-6 and 4-5 in the Big Ten. So the Spartans, they look to snap their three-game skid when they welcome Indiana to Jenison Fieldhouse on Saturday evening for a 6:30 p.m. match. Man, I saw some of the highlights from last night's match between MSU and Michigan. And I tell you, I've never seen a crowd like that for a Michigan State volleyball game. Unbelievable. You guys were great last night. All right, MSU men's soccer in a battle that ended in the Spartans' fifth overtime game of the season. Number 17, Michigan State. The men's soccer team, they fought the number 18 Akron Zips to a 0-0 deadlock on Wednesday night at Cub Cadet Field. Now, the Spartans are now 8-2-3 on the season after their first of a three-game road stretch, while the Zips own a 10-3-1 record. Now, recording a career-high 10 saves and his eighth shutout of the season, goalkeeper Zach Bennett and the Spartan defense snapped the Zips' three-game winning streak, serving them their first tie of the season. Akron is no slouch. They're a pretty good team. Now, the Spartans will re-enter conference play as the team travels to Madison, Wisconsin to face the Badgers on Sunday, October 27th at 3 p.m. I tell you, it's nothing worse for me though watching a soccer game that ends in a 0-0 deadlock tie. I just can't get with that. All right. NFL, they named the teams that will play in London for next season, and the Detroit Lions are in that mix. Yes, the Lions are set to play their first game overseas in 21 years. This is a great look for them. Now, the NFL announced Thursday that the Lions will play the Atlanta Falcons in a regular season game at Wembley Stadium. Now, a date has yet to be released. The game is one of three abroad. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they will play the Dallas Cowboys, and the Oakland Raiders will play the Miami Dolphins. Now, Detroit is the road team for the game and will host all 8 home games next season at Ford Field. The Lions have played in London before, drawing a 13-13 tie. Can you believe that? A tie in an exhibition game against the Cowboys. Now, their only other international game was a 22-9 exhibition win against the Boston Patriots in Montreal. That was in 1969. Here's a quote from Lions president Tom Luan, and he said in a statement, quote, "We are excited for the opportunity to play in an international stage against a quality NFC opponent. It will be a different challenge for our football team, one that we fully embrace." So, again, the Lions, they will be playing overseas, first time in 21 years. They will play in London against the Atlanta Falcons. So that should definitely be a hot ticket there. All right, the Rams. Can you believe this? After the team lost Bradford to a season-ending, Sam Bradford, that is, to a season-ending knee injury, St. Louis, they called Brett Favre on Sunday night, asking whether the 44-year-old retired quarterback, who is now a grandfather, would be willing to leave his farm to plow through the back half of the Rams' schedule. Favre hasn't played since December 2010, but that didn't stop the Rams from reaching out to Favre's agent, Buzz Cook. Now, one source familiar with the Rams conversation said that if Favre took them up on their interest, quote, "it could break Twitter," end quote. Now, through Cook, Favre told the Rams that he was retired, actually, really, officially. So it's looking like he's not coming back, folks. Favre was asked about the Rams' interest in an interview with Sports Talk 570 Power Grid by ESPN in Washington on Thursday and made it pretty clear that he is not returning to the NFL. Favre went on to say that, quote, "it's flattering, but you know there's no way I'm going to do that." Now, Favre said his 2010 NFL season with the Minnesota Vikings, when a shoulder injury ended his consecutive starts streak at 297, that convinced him it was time to stop playing. He said, quote, "I had a great career. I think, if anything, the last year I played was an obvious writing on the wall vision for you, if you will. It was time." So Favre's not coming back, but it's just hilarious that the Rams are that desperate that they would call up Brett Favre. Can you believe that? We'll talk about that later on in the hour. Stick with us. All right, the Senators and Wings, the Ottawa Senators, they gave it to the Red Wings last night, 6-1 in the final of that one. Ty Bertuzzi scored the only goal for the Red Wings. The Senators won at Detroit for the first time since 2006. Although this was their only their third road game against the Red Wings since then. So Detroit moved to the Eastern Conference this year. Of course, Detroit's Nicholas Cronwall, he was back. Yes, Nicholas is back. He was back on the ice after missing two games with a concussion. He actually assisted on that Ty Bertuzzi goal. Now, the Senators were 3-for-24 on the power play entering the game. Gustavsson, he made 17 saves in relief. It was the most goals scored by Ottawa this season and the most allowed by Detroit. Again, 6-1 the final for the Red Wings last night. Ah, that's ugly. All right, Demaryius Reid, the original $5,000 reward for information on the homicide case of former Eastern Michigan wide receiver Demaryius Reid has been doubled, that's right, to $10,000, thanks to a contribution from the University Green Apartment Complex. Now, the complex, that was the actual complex where Reid was found dead Friday morning. Now, the $5,000 from the complex adds to the $2,500 each from EMU and the Crime Stoppers organization. Now, the shooting, which was part of a rash, on and off campus crimes at the university, all of which remain unsolved. That's crazy right there. That has led EMU to host forums on maintaining student safety. Yes, there have been multiple reports and incidences in Ypsilanti, concerning EMU that involve EMU. You know, just crimes happening left and right on that campus. You know, forcing the administration to have a discussion with the campus on, how to end this or how to alleviate this problem, this ongoing crime problem that they are currently having. So again, that reward has been bumped up for, of course, Demaryius Reid, who was an EMU football player. That reward has been bumped up now to $10,000 for anyone who, knows information concerning that devastating news about his passing. So, all right, Red Sox and Cards, the Boston Red Sox, they rolled their beards on a solid effort from John Lester to an 8-1 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals in the opening game of the World Series. Now, three errors from the Cards helped Boston jump out to an early 5-0 lead after just two innings, and Lester's strong 7 2/3 innings were enough to ensure victory. Now, David Ortiz added a 2-run homer in the 7th to extend the lead 7-0, becoming the first player in MLB history with 3 straight multi-hit, multi-RBI games in World Series openers. Big Poppy is something else. Matt Holliday hit a solo home run in the 9th inning, but it was too little, too late for St. Louis. Again, 8-1 the final. Boston tops St. Louis. Oh, that one was ugly too. All right, the NBA Finals. The NBA have officially announced a change in the NBA Finals format, switching from a 2-3-2 series schedule to a 2-2-1-1-1 setup for the foreseeable future. Now, the new final schedule, which was originally 2-2-1-1-1, but switched in 1985 to cut down on cross-country travel, was a quote, easy sell, end quote, to the Board of Governors, according to Commissioner David Stern. Now, David, of course, during his time, he was, one of the big components to changing that format, which was originally 2-2-1-1-1, to that 2-3-2 format, but now it's being switched back. Now, the Board of Governors unanimously, they approved the change. The change in format likens the finals to all other rounds of the NBA playoffs. All the other rounds, from start to finish now are going to be 2-2-1-1-1. All right, you know that the discussion we had yesterday about the whole high school bullying complaints concerning the football teams in Texas. Yeah, we debated that on our Barbershop Wednesday segment yesterday. Well, after a few days of national scrutiny, the Texas parent who filed that bullying complaint against the Aledo Bearcats coaching staff has dropped the complaint. Yes, the 91-0 win for the Aledo team over Western Hills had head coach Tim Buchanan making national media appearances to defend his coaching decisions in the route. Now, the parent was informed of the lengths the Aledo coaches went to prevent the blowout, doing everything from instituting a running clock and benching their starters early in the contest. Even Western Hills coach John Naylor, whose team was on the losing end of that 91-0 shellacking, refused to characterize Alito's win as bullying. I mean, first of all, bullying's not a 91-0 blowout. You know, that's just, you got to get better. You know, that's just, come on. A 91-0 blowout is not bullying. Just get better at the game of football. That's all that is. This is a game. And I'm very glad that this charge got dropped. And hopefully it's an eye-opener to what exactly bullying is to the American public and to this parent who decided to file this complaint. So I'm glad it's dropped. It's dropped. Let's move on. All right. Well, those are your current sports headlines on this October 24th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout the entire show. And today, we're going to talk about Brett Favre, of course, being called by the Rams, which is hilarious to me. We'll be discussing that later on in today's show and asking you whether or not you think Favre could come back and still be effective. 517-355-9527. Again, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Many of you have decided to comment on our Facebook page and weigh in on it, and we will be reading your comments later on in today's show. Okay, well, as I said at the top of the hour, we are going to discuss the Grambling State situation that is currently going on with this football team. Interesting stuff here. For those of you who don't know, we talked about it, I know, on Current Sports. I believe it was last week we hinted on it. But the Grambling State football players, they complained of mold and mildew on equipment and in facilities, having to pay for Gatorade out of their own pockets, and even said which assistants they thought would make a good interim coach after the firing of Doug Williams. In a letter to the administration, of course, Doug Williams, it kind of all escalated due to the firing of Doug Williams. Doug was, who is a former Super Bowl MVP. I didn't know that until really diving into this story. Doug, of course, this team, they started 0-7, an 0-7 record, not really, impressing anybody around the college football area. They decided to let go of Doug Williams, and that kind of set off this fiasco along with, the equipment situation. Now, on Friday, Grambling State canceled its football game against Jackson State after Grambling's disgruntled players refused to travel from their Louisiana campus to Jackson, Mississippi for the game Saturday. Now, the athletic complex, quote, is in horrible condition and has many hazards that may contribute to our overall health. That's, in the letter. This is direct quotes from that letter. It goes on to say that, quote, first, the complex is filled with mildew and mold. Mildew and mold can be seen on the ceiling, walls, and floor, and are contributing to water leaks because of faltering walls and ceilings. Now, it has been reported before, and the players say that the floor is coming up in the weight room, but the letter also asks that the university supply better detergent for uniforms. The letter goes on to say, quote, the uniforms are poorly cleaned and contribute to multiple cases of staph infection. Several players have been infected with staph multiple times. That's just sick right there. Now, a group of 26 photos obtained, from an unnamed Grambling State player appears to illustrate some of the players' complaints. Several of the photographs show walls and ceiling tiles and even player equipment that appear to be covered in mold or mildew. Other photos show the floors of the facility's weight training room missing wide sections of its rubberized floor tiles and torn and tattered covers to some of the weight room's benches. Now, according to the letter, players have been complaining for some time that Gatorade and supplement muscle milk were not supplied during summer camp or workouts. The letter says that players had to come out their own pockets and pay for those type of things, which they shouldn't have to do. Also been reported that players took an exception to the fact that they had to travel by bus to Kansas City and Indianapolis. The letter says, quote, our trip was 14 hours while the other was 17. Players were drained and exhausted after those long rides, and it was said that the president of the university actually flew to the game, and other members of administration actually flew to the game while the players had to take those long bus rides. So in light of that forfeit to Jackson State, the players decided to come back. And this is we're going to play you a bite from Naquan Smith, who is a Grambling State University football safety. And he addressed the media saying that they're coming back, but on their own terms.
We're just here to make a statement. No questions at the end. As part of the athletic program at Grambling State University, the football team took a stance on what we thought was right. We did not quit on our university. There are many problems that exist, and if no one says anything, nothing will become of our institution. We hope Coach Eddie Robson and his legendary players appreciate we took a stand, and we thought what was right. A meeting was held with some Grambling legends, as well as an important person, to come to a mutual agreement for our best interest at heart that ensured we had updated facilities and that we agreed to come back on the practice field. Although we're going to continue our season, we have not forgotten the situation, but and how we've gotten here. Grambling has given the opportunity to be a part of its legacy, and we're looking to improve its conditions for the university and future student athletes. Thank you.
Naquan, how many of you were here?
Eight. It's about 80 plus of us, the whole football team.
This is the entire team here. How do you feel about getting back on the practice?
We feel great. Everybody here as a team wanted to play, but we feel as to get what we feel like was right, we had to take a stand. We had to make sure our voice was heard.
So you have no regrets missing out on the game?
No, we have no regrets.
Naquan, how has the administration reacted? I mean, has there been a lot of pushback? Have you gotten a lot of flack from them, or have they been pretty easy to work with?
No comment. We're working on personals. We're looking forward at this point, trying to move forward.
Naquan, what do you believe will be different?
Great futures after this.
Naquan M. McGill, Student Athletes Human Rights Project. Are you worried about any retaliation?
No, sir.
So, yeah, again, that was Naquan Smith. He is a Grambling State University football player. He plays safety. That was him addressing the situation, of course, where the Grambling State football team decided, to take a stand and forfeit the Jackson State game and due to what they feel was a lack of respect for them, due to mold being on their equipment, mold in the weight room, towels coming up in the weight room, the locker room wasn't great at all. So we're gonna dive into this a little bit. And first, I'm joined by Matt right now, Matt Lucky. Matt, when I look at this from the player's perspective, I gotta tip my hat off to him, because if I was a player going through what they went through or are currently going through still at Grambling State, where you have mold on your equipment, multiple players being infected with staph infection, you got to ride a bus for 14 hours. The one trip was 17 hours while administration gets to fly to the games. You're in a rate room where towels are coming up, the equipment is in poor condition. You got to come out your own pocket to get hydrated during practice and, at camps and games. I mean, if I'm in a situation like that as a player, I wouldn't be happy, and I would have done the same thing or tried to protest and do the same thing. I have to tip my hats off, because for the players to step up and do that and say, hey, we're putting our foot down and we're taking a stand here, we don't feel this is right, and we're not going to take the field unless something is done, hats off to them.
Yeah, you have to really agree with the players here. And it's one thing to be at a school or playing for a team where, you don't have a lot of financial security and money is tight. And obviously they're not going to be one of the wealthiest programs in the country.
Right.
They don't have a $1 billion football facility. You know, it's one thing if you're in a rundown weight room that's kind of falling apart, but it's another thing where it's directly affecting the health and safety of players.
Right.
I mean, that is, one of the things that the NCAA preaches. And most sports organizations preach is safety first. And when you're jeopardizing the safety of players because, their equipment isn't clean and there's mold growing everywhere.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, that clearly steps over the line. I think the players were totally right to do this. And just
right.
Because Jackson State is now putting pressure on Grambling, suing them for not showing up to that game. That's a lot of money that Jackson State lost. Now it's kind of snowballing into something bigger.
Huge.
I think the players are absolutely right to do what they did.
Right.
And really, you talk about the coach getting fired after going 0-6. All you hear about, and obviously this is going to be apples and oranges, because, you look at a program like, let's take Michigan basketball, which struggled for, the decades after the Fab Five. John Beilein comes in. One of the biggest things they attribute to his success as coach is that they renovated their facilities.
Right. The atmosphere that you have in an athletic facility.
It's like a chicken egg thing.
Right.
How are you supposed to get players if your weight room is literally falling apart?
Exactly.
And, the equipment that the kids get is disgusting.
Yeah.
Unsanitary.
Mold.
You're going to get a staph infection from your shoulder pads.
Right, exactly. You know what's something interesting about this story? Once, you know, it started to come out and the players were complaining about mildew being on their equipment, the administration, well, the athletic administration had the nerve to go to the players and say, all right, we're going to have you guys clean it up. They sent the team to the weight room to clean up mildew and mold. The team. This is not like, you know, the cleaning, you know, whoever's in charge of cleaning at Grambling State, for them to clean it up. They sent the actual players.
It doesn't sound like anybody's in charge of cleaning it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, know, right? Exactly, yeah. Right? They sent the team to do this. I mean, there's multiple slaps in the face.
The only
story.
Place that this would work is in, like, a sports movie.
Right.
Where a team perseveres through all this garbage.
Right.
You know, that the cleaning of the weight room would have been a montage where they,
right.
You know, it's team unity or something.
But, yeah,
but this isn't the movies. This is real life. Kids are getting sick.
Right.
Because of faulty equipment.
It's terrible,
man.
At
the college level.
Right. And we talk about the budget crisis for this team. Grambling has seen its state funding cut 57% in the last several years, according to university spokesman Will Sutton. Now, the athletics department budget for the 2013-14 school year is $6.8 million, which reflects, according to Sutton, a $335,000 cut. Football was asked to trim about $75,000 from its $2 million budget. But you know, when I look at that, those numbers, okay, 57%, you got to cut your budget down. But now that this story has really gotten some traction and many people around, you know, the nation are hearing about the situation at Grambling State University, it's put a lot of pressure on Grambling State athletics. And you know what they've done? They have, right now, their renovation of the flooring, which they dedicated $31,000 to. So they're cleaning up the flooring right now, $31,000 dedicated to the weight room facility's flooring. Ceiling tiles and in the locker room are being replaced, and other modifications as far as uniforms are in effect. Why did it take all this to happen?
Right.
You complain about your budget, saying you're getting cut 57%. You know, I just ran down the numbers. But yet you're starting to turn the tables now and say, okay, we need to do something. This should have been done way before, and it's kind of, a cop-out for this university. And it's, you know, it's sad stuff, man, when you got, you know, players that want to play. These are players, you know, even though it is Grambling State University, they came there, probably, you know, many of them on scholarship. You know, they got dreams and aspirations. Some of them maybe want to go to the NFL Combine, but you can't because you got this as a distraction. This should not – it's a disgrace to see a university go through this. And there's so many contradictions here as far as, you know, you got the university complaining about their budget being cut, but yet now that this story has gained traction and gained light, you're willing to do something about it. That's a load of crap.
Right. And really, like you said, it should have happened earlier, and especially when you consider that, you know, Grambling is not some, you know, unheard of FCS school.
Right.
I mean, they play a nationally televised game every year against Southern at the end of the season. Where's that money going? They've got to be getting paid by NBC to appear on national television.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they are, you know, just some...
down in the dumps, just
exactly,
no
like,
money flowing in.
They're a historic program.
Yeah.
What happened to their funding? Like, where did it all go?
That's a very good question, because if you look at Grambling State in the past, they have a pretty rich history as far as college football
exactly,
goes.
Yeah.
Many players, I mean, have gone to the NFL from that team. I mean... it's really upset. I mean, Doug Williams, again, he was a great NFL player, former Super Bowl MVP, you know what I mean? Then he gets fired, and that's what kind of sparked this whole thing. And they bring in George Ragsdale. He, you know, is let go. And then Dennis Winston, who was now the interim head coach, he comes in. So they had three head coaches this
It just seems like the administration is actively trying to end the football program there.
Right. That's what it seems
by
like,
just
man.
Completely disregarding it. Not giving it any attention or funding or support.
Right.
And now that the players took a stand, now they're backpedaling as quickly as they possibly can and trying to remedy these things. But like you said, this is stuff that should have been done years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, you know, it's not like a weight room falls apart overnight.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this has to have been decades probably of just decay that they never addressed.
Right.
And now that, you know, they're making national headlines for all the wrong reasons, now they're trying to remedy everything. So
yeah, exactly. You know, and it's I'm glad that it finally got some light. I mean, You know, honestly, probably without the Doug Williams firing, if they had success this season, this probably would just went on and on and on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm glad something happened where these players are like, okay, they were kind of forced and backed into a corner to do something, to be honest with you. And, you know, and it's being done. But hats off, you know, if there's any message to take away from this story, I want to give a hats off to the players because, you know, it takes a lot of guts to take a stand against, you know, not only a school, but this is a university. This is a university. You're taking a stand against a university who, you know, like you said, they've had a rich tradition as far as college football goes in the past. And they just said enough is enough, man. You know, we're not going to just lay down and just let this happen anymore. We're going to take a stand. And, hey, if it caused Grambling State now getting sued by Jackson State for them sitting out a game, well, hey, so be it. I mean, now they have to deal with something that the players, you know, the players been dealing with crap for a while now.
It's not like they had money in their program before. So
right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So interesting stuff there. All right, well, you know, we're going to take a quick break, come back and talk about Favre and the Rams contacting Brett Favre. And also today is MSU Women's Basketball Media Day at 3 o'clock. Yes, Current Sports will be there. We're going to give you a quick team preview the schedule real quick, and we got a special feature on a certain kicker. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, a step back from your Pandora or Spotify playlist. Instead, some new albums worth hearing the whole way through. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. All right. Well, we just finished up your headlines and talking about the grand, the situation over at Grambling State University's football program. So let's dive into another aspect of today's show. The Rams, St. Louis Rams, they decided to call Brett Favre on Sunday night asking whether the 44-year-old retired quarterback, who is now a grandfather, we'll be willing to leave the farm and come back and, you know, play behind center for the team. Now, Favre hasn't played since December of 2010, but that didn't stop the Rams from reaching out to Favre's agent, Buss Cook, who Buss has gone on record in the past as saying, you know, Favre is, you know, he's in shape. He's, you know, he thinks he can make a contribution still. Now, Favre, known as, you know, a gunslinger when he was playing in the league. He threw 508 touchdowns and 336 interceptions during his career, dating back to his debut with the Atlanta Falcons in 1991. Favre played in all 16 games of every single season from 1993 until 2009. A remarkable streak of games there. That's unbelievable. He played in 13 games in 2010, which was his final year in the league. Matt, what are your thoughts on this? This is hilarious, man.
Poor Rams. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They are terrible. And, you know, it's clearly a sign of desperation.
Without a doubt.
You know, 2010 is a long time ago.
It's not like
he's been out for a year.
Right.
You know, and when he left, he wasn't playing at the highest level. I mean, he threw that terrible interception with Minnesota.
Which one?
Which one?
It's funny.
It just seems like, you know, I'm so used to just seeing him in Wrangler commercials and
right.
not seeing him on Sundays. It was so nice after the 3 or 4 years where it was every
right.
August, ESPN just became the Brett Favre network.
Exactly. And don't forget about John Madden. John Madden, the Favre lover that he is. You know, maybe that's why John Madden got out of the game, because Brett Favre left the game. I don't know. But, man, you know, it's one of those things where, though, like I said, we're so used to – I'm still not used to it. It's been, you know, 2010 was his last game, and it's now 2013. I'm still not used to not seeing Brett Favre. I still feel like he's playing in the league. Like his aura is still there every Sunday. I don't know. I definitely thought about
him when Brandon Whedon threw that terrible interception against the Lions, the underhand throw.
Oh, that was so bad. That's like a Favre interception. Yeah, because Favre was known for that type of last minute. Oh, let me try to pull off. I can pull off anything.
I'm always going to be able to make a play.
Right, right.
Until he got too old to keep making them.
Right, exactly.
But why the Rams would reach out that far? It's ridiculous. The Bills plugged in Thaddeus Lewis, who was the Lions' fourth-string quarterback.
Right.
And he's played well the last 2 weeks. It's not like there's not young talent available.
Exactly.
Rams are going to salvage their season with Brett Favre and become a playoff team.
No.
You know, they're in the same division as Seattle and San Francisco.
Right, right.
You know, the rookies that they drafted, they don't know how to use. Tavon Austin touches the ball 3 times a game after being the most electric player in college football last year.
Yeah.
They don't use their personnel well. It's not going to be a fun offense to play in. I mean, Sam Bradford was running for his life.
Right, exactly.
It's tough to name, I would say, 5 offensive players for the St. Louis Rams. Like,
it's so tough. I can name 3. Two.
They're not a good team right now. But he would do nothing to help them, I don't think. Not enough, at least.
Right.
Now, my question to you is, let's say, you know, a hypothetical injury happens to any number of quarterbacks. What teams do you think Brett Favre could come in and play for and keep the performance at the same level or even enhance it? What teams could he go on and succeed at the ripe old age of 44?
Well, I think, of course, when you talk about Favre being 44 years old, if you're going to, you know, bring him out the woodworks, bring the old man out the closet, dust him off, and put him back out there. You got to have talent to accommodate for that old age. First of all, it's got to have a team with talent. You got to have receivers to throw to. You got to have good personnel. You got to have a good coach. Things have to be intact, like I said, we're talking about a hypothetical scenario. There's no way in HE double hockey sticks that any team in the NFL, any decent team in the NFL would think about bringing Favre back.
I was going to say, don't rule out like the Jaguars either.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because never know.
You never know. But still, I mean, it has to have a team with talent, you know, to accommodate for Favre's old age. But you know what? I'm going to go on record here of saying that I think if Favre came back and was to play quarterback for the NFL for some team, I think he would be, you know, he wouldn't be the worst quarterback in the league. I think it would be kind of like the middle of the pack type of guy, to be honest with you. I still think, they said he keeps himself in shape. His vision for the game and his, because a lot of quarterback is feel too, vision and feel for the game. And Favre definitely had that throughout his tenure career. 2 years, I don't think that's left him. Some of it, yeah. Definitely some of it, because he hasn't played a football game since 2010. But I think he could still enter the league and be effective. Maybe that's me and my Favre dream of him coming back, because I love watching
Brett Favre. So you want him to come back?
I would love that, man.
You would love it?
That would be like, you know, be kind of like Jordan coming back, you know, even though, you know, these guys probably don't still have it. But just seeing him back in a uniform every Sunday would just be like, wow. So it would be entertaining. It would be entertaining to see him come back. But it won't happen. But I still think that Favre came back. Maybe it's just me, you know, my wish. I'm wishing here. I'm grasping at straws, as you would say here, Matt. Maybe it's that, but I still think he wouldn't be the worst quarterback in the league.
No, not by any
not
stretch.
At all.
And you talk about how it's mostly mental and a feel for it.
Right.
And that's true. I mean, look at Peyton Manning. He is not Peyton Manning from 3 years ago, even.
Right.
Every ball he throws, it's longer than 10 yards, just flutters. They're just, you know.
Exactly.
But he's so smart. He knows the game so well that he is still far and away the best quarterback in the league. And he's 38.
Exactly.
I mean, what's 6 more years?
Right.
Although it's, you know, 6 more years of
beatdowns
from NFL linebackers. But
just imagine, you know, Aaron brought up something just now. What if, you know, if Sue got his hands on Brett Favre, just imagine how the league would handle that. He'll be fined $3 million or something.
He'd be fined before the snap.
Oh, exactly. I know, right?
I mean.
Oh, gosh. But, yeah, I mean, we talk about St. Louis. They are a terrible team. It just shows you how desperate they are. I mean, they're 18th, ranked 18th in the season as far as passing yards go, rushing yards 29th. Opponent passing yards, they give up the 17th most points in the NFL in opponent rushing yards. They're 30th in the league. So this is just a notoriously bad team. Of course, Bradford out now. So
all right, Al,
it's hilarious.
Let me pose another hypothetical. You are an NFL GM.
Okay.
Your starting quarterback goes down. Your backup quarterback, you know he's not good.
Right.
You've got two phone calls to make. Brett Favre and Tim Tebow.
Oh, I'm calling Favre all day.
You're calling Favre?
Favre. I mean, still, Favre's old, yeah.
Let's say
Tebow just can't play quarterback.
The thing
That's
is,
a good
I don't know.
You
know
would call Tebow over Favre?
I don't know if Favre makes it through an entire season. I don't know if
true.
He makes it through a week of practice.
I would rather take a risk by having Favre and him possibly getting injured and bringing in my backup quarterback than bringing in Tim Tebow, who knows nothing about the quarterback position.
I mean, the media circus
so bad.
Is comparable for both.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you'd have Sal Palantonio hanging out at your practice for the foreseeable future.
You would have Stephen
He's going to have to buy
Smith.
Property in your city because he's going to be there giving you constant updates on what Brett Favre and or Tim Tebow is doing.
Oh, yeah. If Favre or Tebow came back and played for any team in the league, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. would just talk about that the entire 2 hours or 3 hours that they're on. I don't know how long they're on. I used to watch them all the time, but they just – I think they're still talking about Tim Tebow. To this
Honestly,
day.
Why don't the Jaguars do that?
That would be good publicity. We would actually
be talking about the Jaguars for reasons other than how terrible they are.
Right. It would put butts in the seats,
They
too,
sign
I'm sure.
both Brett Favre and Tim Tebow. Twitter breaks. You know, the internet just melts down. And the Jaguars are front page news for the first time in maybe ever.
Yeah. You know what?
I got to get on the phone with Shad
Go
Khan
ahead.
And tell him that this is foolproof.
We just came to an unbelievable conclusion here that could save the Jaguars season.
Send him to London together.
Yeah.
For their game against San Fran.
Wow.
You get a little globalization going.
Dollar bill.
At two of our most notable quarterbacks who haven't played in 2 years. Brett Favre and Tim Tebow.
The ratings would be through the roof. They might get a primetime game off that
Absolutely.
Name, you know? But, yeah, I'd stick by that statement. I think Brett Favre could come back and have some level of contribution.
Yeah, the only thing is, you know, we talked about his mental aspect and how good he was and how you know, much he knew about the game. Yeah. The only problem I have with that is, like we said earlier, too, he was a guy who always thought he could make a play.
Oh, yeah.
And now that his body is kind of betraying him.
There would be a lot of interceptions, a lot of turnovers.
There would be a lot of, you know, across my body throws.
Yeah.
Taken to the house by the other team because he just doesn't have the arm strength anymore.
That's how Favre was. That's what made him
great player.
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes him a dangerous veteran.
Fearless player. Oh, gosh. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, just really quickly, I want to read some of these Facebook comments. You guys weighed in on the Brett Favre possibly coming back. Charles says, Favre is Jordan. So, yes, come back. Eddie says, this season, if he came back, I don't think he would be effective to the fact he probably let himself go big time. Well, no, he hasn't, Eddie. I mean, he's been keeping in shape, he said.
Filming those Wrangler commercials.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's been keeping in shape, man.
Play touch football all the time.
All the time, probably. Yeah, oh, yeah. We see those commercials. Yeah, that's proof. That's all you need right there. Jermaine says, Brett Favre could come back and be successful under one circumstance. That being, if a team was missing only a quarterback. This means a complete offensive line, a good running back, and we talked about this, a top five defense, and a legitimate receiving core. Brett would need to be the last piece of the puzzle. Such was not the case for the Rams at all, but I do believe he can still step up in the pocket and deliver the football, even at age 44. I agree with Jermaine.
Let's throw Brett Favre on the Broncos.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that won't never happen. But,
well, no. But
yeah,
I'm just saying.
I think he'd be decent, yeah. They might make the playoffs.
He wouldn't be terrible.
No, he wouldn't be terrible. And Brandon says, I'd say target a guy like Vince Young. Winning record as a starter, a 44-year-old quarterback, is a slap in the face to all QB free agents that remain. Vince Young? I don't know.
Would take Brett Favre over Vince Young.
I'd take Brett. Yeah, I would too. Yeah, Vince is just.
It's one thing
to kind of
burn out of a franchise because you're old.
Yeah.
It's another just because.
To burn out
because
you just
knows?
Can't play.
Yeah,
can play
who knows?
Position.
Yeah.
Golly. All
Vince
right.
Young.
Yeah, Vince Young is just shake my head. All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks a lot, guys, for those comments on our Facebook page. Again, you can be a part of the hands-on discussion here at Current Sports each and every day, or weekday, I should say. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports or tweet me at Al Martin W. WKAR. All right, well, we're going to get to it. We'll talk really briefly. MSU women's basketball, they have their media day today. I'll be heading out to media day. The schedule that they have coming up is highlighted by 9 teams that played in last year's NCAA tourney, including opening at Final Four participant Notre Dame, in addition to 3 other postseason qualifiers. Now, in addition to the Irish, MSU also hosts NCAA participant Dayton, travel to Florida State for the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and face Oklahoma State and Georgetown at the San Juan Classic. Now, in conference, the Spartans will face Illinois, Ohio State, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin twice, while Indiana, Penn State, and Purdue will only head to the Breslin Center, and Iowa, Michigan, and Northwestern will be road-only opponents. Now, the 2014 Big Ten tournament will return to Indy, and Michigan State's exhibition schedule will include an October 30th contest. Wow, that is so close. October 30th. Man, basketball, can you hear the balls bouncing right now, man? It's so close. So close. But October 30th contest versus Ferris State, at that's at 6 p.m., and November 3rd against Grand Valley State at 4:30 p.m. Now, Michigan State is coming off of a 25-9 season, which saw the Spartans tie for third in the Big Ten at 10-6. MSU advanced to the NCAA tournament second round before losing at number 10 Maryland, and the Spartans graduated 2 starters but returned 5. Yes, 5 of their top 6 scorers, including leading scorer and rebounder Clarissa Bell, who was a third-team All-Big Ten selection. In addition, MSU welcomes back 3 key possible contributors, yeah, I can't talk today, last season, from injury, and Madison Williams. Finally, I am crossing my fingers for Madison Williams. She's a player who, if you know her history, 3 straight years of knee injuries. She has not played that much for this MSU basketball team, but she, I'm knock on wood, I hope she stays healthy the entire season. I've been waiting my entire, time here in East Lansing, waiting to see what Madison Williams has as a player. I can't wait. I hope she stays healthy. I hope she stays healthy. Also, Ford's Brandy Agee and Ariel Powers. Now, last season at Michigan State, they led the Big Ten in scoring defense, rebound margin, and 3-point field goal percentage defense, and was second in field goal percentage defense. You know what? Man, there was a time last season where I thought this team really, it seemed as though as the season went on for the basketball team, MSU women's basketball team, you know, they had some bumps in the road. But I tell you what, they started off the season so hot. I mean, if I count here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it was like a 12-13 game win streak they were on. You're sitting there like, wow, were they ever lose? And then Dayton got them in that 60-53 game. But man, I think they'll be solid this season, man.
Yeah, and they're built on a you know, pretty familiar foundation of defense and rebounding, and
right,
that's gonna win you games no matter what. If you can defend and rebound effectively, you're gonna win a lot of contests. And when you have so many players coming back from injury.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's ridiculous how many people they've lost over the last few seasons due
right
to various serious season-ending injuries.
Right.
You know, if they can stay healthy, and obviously that's a huge, giant, massive if.
Right, because, I mean, you look at last season. I mean, of course, Madison Williams was out, but you had Brandy Agee. But they were, I mean, they were playing with about, what, like 6 to 7 active players that were fully healthy
right
last season. And then we're getting W's. I'm sitting there like, wow, unbelievable. If they stay healthy, though, sky's the limit for this team.
Exactly. I mean, they have, you know, as good a chance of winning the Big Ten as anybody, especially if people stay healthy. The way that they performed last year has to be encouraging to anybody just
right
because of the players they're getting back. You know, like you said, the sky's the limit.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. All right, well, you know what? We're going to take a quick break. Again, I will be heading out to Media Day 3 p.m. today as we get a preview of this MSU women's basketball team. Let's take a quick break, then come back with a pretty cool feature. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the new film 12 Years a Slave with the director Steve McQueen and Chiwetel Ejiofor, who stars as a free black man in the North who is kidnapped into slavery. And we'll talk with David Blight, director of the Center for the Study of Slavery, Resistance, and Abolition at Yale. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. Today we have a pretty cool feature interview for you all. Does the name Matthew Wyman ring a bell? Well, to many in this area, it probably doesn't. He is a Kansas University sophomore football player, a kicker to be exact. That's right, we're going to show some kicker. We're going to show a kicker some love today. Kansas, which is going through a pretty rocky season, though, with an overall record of 2-4. But one shining light this season for the Jayhawks came during their third game of the season, which they took on Louisiana Tech. Matthew Wyman, he drilled a 52-yard field goal as time expired to give Kansas the win. Alex Sharrock spoke with Wyman about that moment and much more.
I'm here with Kansas kicker Matt Wyman. Matt, great to have you here with me. How are you?
How's it going?
Good, good. Well, the first thing I want to know is if you ever imagine yourself walking on at a Big 12 school like Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to play a college sport. I never thought it'd be football. I've always considered myself a pretty athletic kid, and then when you come here and are with the best athletes in college, it just shows you how athletic they really are.
Yeah, how is it being on the big stage over there?
I mean, it's a great feeling. It's not everybody gets to experience Big 12 football, and just to be a normal student last year and then walk on and like have my like almost status change. It's a cool feeling.
Right, right. Now, did anything change about your daily routine once you made the team? Did you do anything different?
Well, once I made the team, my life kind of changed. My schedule is very busy now.
Now, being a kicker, Matt, what does it take to be a great kicker? And, I mean, how do you deal with jitters? Do you get any jitters before you make a kick?
You got to have a lot of confidence. Being a kicker, you got to have confidence. If you don't, you're not going to succeed. I even get jitters in practice. That's just. I think I always have a little bit of jitters.
Now, going to high school with you, you only kicked for 1 year at Andover High School in Michigan, and now you're kicking for the Kansas Jayhawks. How was that transition, and, I mean, how funny is that?
It was actually pretty easy. And soccer taught me just the fundamentals of kicking, so mm-hmm. I just transferred that over to football, and now I'm still a soccer player playing football, I'd say.
Now, your game-winning field goal against LA Tech broke some Kansas records. Did you change anything with that kick? What was going through your head when you kicked the game-winning 52-yard field goal?
Just do what I do every day in practice, that I can do it, and that just to remember the confidence that I've had in myself this whole time, and that just because people are watching doesn't mean that I can't make it.
So with you coming in this year, what's the atmosphere of the team like?
I got confidence in our team. I think our coaches are going to turn us around a little bit. You know, we're a new program, lots of new players, so we're still getting used to each other.
Now, I can't imagine you are playing, Matt, for the Big 12 Conference. So does home field advantage or playing at Kansas in the Big 12 have any effect on you as a kicker, or is that more of a myth?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, in high school, I kicked in front of 400 maybe. So it definitely, home advantage really helps out.
Right. Now, someone wrote about you at KU Sports that you have rock star status now after making that kick. Now, how does it feel to be known as a rock star around campus?
Definitely not a rock star, but I guess now I'm known. I guess that's kind of where it's similar.
So you played for Coach Charlie Weiss. How is he with you as a college athlete? Do you have enough time to have the real college experience and have time for yourself?
Well, Coach Weiss is very strict on our schooling. It's tutors, and he checks up on our grades every Friday. So doing good in school isn't something that is just that I handle just on my own. It's something that they help me out with. I definitely have to sacrifice some time. I don't get to hang out with my friends as much. I have a out-of-state girlfriend, so it's kind of nice because I'm super busy here, so I don't have to, like, blow her off and stuff. But, I mean, I'd say I'm a normal college student. I just, instead of working a full-time job, I play football.
How is it playing for Coach Weiss overall?
I like playing under Coach Weiss. I think he's a good coach. He watches out for us. He really cares about his players. That's something that I think a lot of coaches don't do is just genuinely care for their players. He wants us to be successful after college, after most of us are done playing college football, because not many people go to the next level, so he wants to make sure we're prepared for that.
Right. Now, over the years, Coach Weiss has had his scrutiny and his haters. What does the team think of Coach Weiss?
Yeah, I mean, he makes us a family. It's not what about what the fans like. It's about us being a family.
Now, last question, Matt, because I got to know, I've always wanted to be that rock chalk guy. I've always wanted to say rock chalk and go to KU. Have you seen a lot of athletes on campus and even run into Bill Self? And if so, is there a similar bond between your team and football and the basketball team that Bill Self has built?
Yeah, we over at the tutoring center, I see all the basketball players and all the other sports players, and we all live in the towers, so I see them quite a bit. I know that the basketball team supports us, and they're always at our games, and just like we support the basketball team, so I'd say we support each other pretty good.
All right, that's going to do it. Matt, thanks for coming on the show with us. It was a pleasure having you. I'm sure I'll see you back home in Bloomfield soon.
All right, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Alex, and thanks, Matt, for your time again. And for those who don't know, Matthew is from the Metro Detroit area. He actually graduated from Andover High School, which is now Bloomfield High School. The Jayhawks, they take on Baylor this Saturday. All right, we only got a few minutes left. Matt, it's Throwback Thursday. What you got for us, man?
We got some weird stuff going on today.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A lot of a wide swath of different events. So we'll start out in 1857. The world's first soccer club, Sheffield Football Club, was founded in England. So the birth of professional football, European football, I guess you have to qualify here.
Football.
1943, we talked about Brett Favre throwing a lot of picks. Oh boy. Green Bay intercepts an amazing 9 passes as the Packers defeat the Detroit Lions 27-6.
Oh, no.
Lions quarterback.
Bringing back the memories. Oh.
Lions quarterback Frank Sinkwich was responsible for 7 of those interceptions.
1943? 1943. Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's the horror. Oh. 9 passes.
Whoop.
Oh.
That's 7 around. Picks in a game.
That's unbelievable.
I mean.
That's unbelievable. Oh.
Hard to do.
Don't bring back that. Hopefully you didn't jinx him for this Sunday, man.
Oh, gosh. I don't think Matthew Stafford could throw 7 picks in a game.
Right.
Although the ones he throws up to Calvin, who knows? If he didn't have Calvin, it'd be a possibility.
They're risky, man. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, number 3, 1972, baseball legend Jackie Robinson, perhaps you've heard of him, who shattered the color barrier, passes away at the age of 53. Moving to 1984, Steffi Graf, one of the most prolific female tennis players ever, plays her first pro tennis match. 1989, after a week's delay due to earthquake, the World Series Game 3 is played. That was the Oakland-San Francisco series, interrupted by a pretty terrible earthquake back in 1989.
So they stopped the game?
Oh, yeah. They had to postpone the series for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, a lot of damage. 1997, last but not least, in Arlington, Virginia, former NBC sportscaster, well, now he's Fox, I think. I don't know. He's still employed.
He actually did the Lions game this past weekend.
He did.
I believe.
Yeah. Former NBC sportscaster Marv Albert was spared a jail sentence after a courtroom apology to the woman he'd bitten during a sexual encounter.
Repeat that one more time. That's so good.
Oh. Spared a jail sentence after a courtroom apology to the woman he'd bitten during a sexual encounter.
Oh, my God. You know, a lot of people don't know that Marv Albert has, like, this crazy past. You know what I mean? Do you remember the story when Marv was caught, I believe, cross-dressing?
I do.
Oh, my gosh.
As Michael Scott from The Office says, Marv Albert, great sportscaster, big weirdo creep.
Yes.
And it's more or less true.
Very true. No, that's very true.
He is
true.
A great sportscaster.
He's great. I love hearing his voice. You know what I mean? I'm used to hearing it, you know, during NBA games.
Right.
His voice is legendary.
Have a foul.
Exactly.
Like,
it was
that's
so weird hearing him do football.
Part of the NBA.
Right.
It is weird hearing him do football.
Yeah, but man, he's got a weird past, man.
He had a rough 1997.
Oh, I'm sure. That is hilarious. Thank you for that, Matt. Great job, man. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lepke. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Matthew Wyman for his time. Also want to note that Current Sports TV tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR TV, catch my sit-down with MSU head athletic trainer Sally Nogle, she's broken so many barriers and opened so many doors for women and just people in general who want to get into athletic training. She's great. All right, well, you're listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin of WKRI East Lansing and WKRI FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.